As thousands of fires rage in the Amazon rainforest, political disputes rage over how to react to them. French President Emmanuel Macron, as you heard there in the headlines, has called this an international crisis, which should be top of the G7 agenda at the weekend. His counterpart in Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, says this was sensationalist and for political gain. At home here, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said there's no way that Ireland will vote for the EU-Mercosur free trade agreement if Brazil does not honour its environmental commitments. So as more than 2,500 fires are still actively burning in the Brazilian Amazon, we're joined in studio here by Cuiva de Barra, CEO of Trocra, and on the line, John Sweeney, climatologist at NUI Maynooth, and Pat Deering, Fine Gael TD for Carlo Kilkenny and chair of the Agricultural Committee. And of course, Trocra is a member of the Stop Climate Chaos Coalition. Thank you all very much for joining us this morning. To you, first of all, John Sweeney, Emmanuel Macron says our house is burning literally. Why is this such a big environmental concern, John?
Well, Miriam, it's very difficult to underestimate the importance of the Amazonian rainforest to all of us who inhabit this planet. For every Irish citizen today, every fifth breath you breathe is consuming oxygen which has been produced by the Amazonian rainforest. So we're indebted to that for our oxygen supply. But more than that, we're indebted to the Amazon for its vital role in sustaining communities all across both South America, where the great moisture cloud of the Amazon rainforest is instrumental in creating rainfall around the region, but also in influencing rainfall as far afield as Western United States and other parts of Central America as well. It's also vital, really, in terms of storing carbon, because the Amazon stores about a decade's worth of our human emissions of carbon. So to remove that really does put us way back in terms of fighting a battle against intolerable and perhaps irreversible warming and catastrophic climate change on the globe itself. It's also a source of tremendous biodiversity. I mean, the Amazon has about a fifth of all the bird species, about a fifth of all the fish species, and about 100 new species are being discovered there every year. And some of those are now turning out to be vital as, for example, medicinal tools to fight some of the diseases that we have today. So it has a whole range of vital economic and also vital environmental benefits, which to lose would be catastrophic, not just for the region, but indeed would be catastrophic in terms of the whole globe. And unfortunately, we're seeing the progress that was made in stopping deforestation up in the first decade of this century being undone very quickly now. We've lost an area roughly the size of Greater London in the past 3 weeks alone, and signs are that this burning season will produce fairly substantial losses of irreversible nature in much of this region.
What causes these wildfires, John? I mean, do you think they're being set deliberately? An area of the rainforest roughly the size of a football pitch is being cleared every minute, according to satellite data.
Well, it's being caused, we now know about 80% of them are being caused by deliberate setting of fires to clear land for agriculture, to clear land especially for ranches, for beef grazing, and also for arable agriculture for production of things like soya bean. The problem is, of course, that Brazil has a need for land, but that land is being perhaps short-sightedly destroyed in the cause of a small minority of the population, it has to be said. And this is the driver at the moment, which is producing about a doubling of the number of fires that we had last year and much more extensive damage, which is causing, if you like, also problems in the cities. Sao Paulo is blanketed in smoke where it looked like nighttime in the middle of the day. And that kind of smoke will also affect climate elsewhere. It will begin to cause problems for health in a widespread manner. So it's driven by essentially economics of international trade, unfortunately.
Okay, Caoimhe de Barra here in studio. As I said earlier, the CEO of Throcra, which is, of course, a member of the Stop Climate Chaos Coalition. How concerned are you at the scale of these fires, Caoimhe, and the impact that they're having on the environment and on local people in those areas?
So we're gravely concerned about the impact of these fires. Not only, as John has said, does this have a global impact in terms of the rapid pace of environmental destruction, both in terms of biodiversity and in terms of contributing to climate change, but also locally, 1 million Indigenous people live in the Amazon forest. And frankly, this is really about politics in Brazil. So Jair Bolsonaro fought an election campaign on the basis of promises to open up what he would have called the unproductive Amazon region for companies. So whether or not they actually have the legal entitlement to do so, companies now feel emboldened to go in and to set these fires to clear the very precious Amazon forest for logging, for mining, for commercial farms. So they know they can do this because they will be met with impunity. If they will not be challenged in the Brazilian system under the current Bolsonaro government. However, what we feel, because we see this pattern of destruction and also destruction of local people's livelihoods and rights globally, is that there is a need for international action on this. The Brazilian government, under the current leadership, will not hold those who are setting these fires to account. In fact, it will create more space for them to do so.
Of course, he's accused NGOs of starting these fires, Bolsonaro, for political gain. What do you make of that, and why these fires are happening now on such a scale?
This is straight out of the political playbook of populist leaders, delegitimizing NGOs or indigenous peoples groups who are in fact trying to protect the environmental resources and protect their own rights and livelihoods is something that is happening worldwide as well. Smearing those and accusing those of crimes is something we see very commonly. In fact, 3/4 of the human rights defenders who were killed last year were killed for defending indigenous and environmental rights. That's 247 people murdered for speaking the truth.
In relation to the trade union, of course, we'll come back to the Taoiseach's comments. Phil Hogan, actually, the EU Commissioner for Agriculture, he spoke to Sean on this show back in July about the environmental concerns surrounding the Mercosur trade deal. And Sean asked him about the issue of the rainforest being cleared for beef production and the worry that Brazil might sign up to the deal but renege on it later. And this was what he told us.
The Brazilian beef producers do not produce in the Amazon area. They produce in the other southern part of the country. And what they have entered in now with the Brazilian government, along with the other Mercosur countries, to agree with the implementation of the Paris Agreement, which President Bolsonaro, of course, was following Mr. Trump up to recently and saying he was going to pull out of it. Now, if he does pull out of the Paris Agreement, this deal falls. But under the agreement that we've reached two weeks ago, there are now going to be pledges by 2030 for 12 million hectares of reforestation in the Amazon, zero illegal deforestation in the Brazilian Amazon region, strengthening the forest code. All of these issues are being part of the deal. So trade agreements are no longer about just trade. They're about sustainable development. They're about implementation of our international commitments of the environment and other issues. And Brazil has signed up to these commitments, and I think this is a major step forward for the environment.
So that was Phil Hogan speaking to Sean back in July. Pat Deering, good morning. Thanks for speaking to us. This deal falls if Brazil doesn't honour its climate obligations, said Phil Hogan. And the Taoiseach, of course, echoed that position this morning. Is that a guarantee from the government?
Hey, good morning, Miriam. Yeah, I suppose the Taoiseach has always indicated that he would assess this disagreement in the round, and if it wasn't good for Ireland, we wouldn't be supporting it. And as Phil Hogan indicated there last July, you know, if the Brazilians didn't honour their commitments, this deal would fall. And President Bolsonaro, I think he's quoted as saying in the last 24 hours that he's prepared to stay in the Paris Accord for now. And that's a very loose way of agreeing to the Mercosur deal that we have at the moment for now. You know, he is, as Phil Hogan indicated, he was coming out of the Trump playbook up to a short time ago, and he may be intending going back down that road again. But if he doesn't honour those commitments that have been made in that initial deal, which is only an agreement in principle at the moment, there's a long way to go before this particular deal.
Okay, so Pat Deering, if the deal falls anyway, if Brazil breaks its climate obligations, then it really hardly matters if Ireland refuses to approve Mercosur, does it? A cynic might say it was a tad opportunistic. fantastic for the Taoiseach to put out this statement saying we'd refuse to approve it on those terms. What would you say to that?
No, absolutely not. You know, there is serious consequences for ourselves, and we've seen in the last number of weeks the difficulties that the beef sector is enduring. And this is another nail in the coffin of the beef sector if it comes to being. There's 100,000 extra tonnes of beef coming from the Mercosur countries into Europe if this deal comes true. And that's going to have a very negative effect on the industry in Ireland, an industry that is very, very important for rural Ireland. It supplements and it enhances rural Ireland. So I think it would be very unfair to say that Taoiseach is very, you know, taking an opportune time at this moment now to make that particular comment. He has always said that if this deal wasn't good for Ireland, we wouldn't be voting for it.
And Pat Deering, do you agree that this Mercosur deal actually, in fact, strengthens climate obligations in Brazil? As Phil Hogan said, trade deals are not just about trade anymore. They're about sustainable development, implementation of international commitments, and that this is a major step forward for the environment. Do you agree with that?
You know, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt if it comes to being, as Bill Hogan has indicated, that there is very serious environmental obligations to be adhered to. You know, that's obviously good news. We in Ireland are asked to do a lot of things from an environmental point of view, and farmers in Ireland, generally speaking, are up for that. But you need to be able to compete on a level playing field. You know, if Irish farmers, for example, are asked to do things day in, day out to ensure their beef is more environmentally friendly, and they are competing on a playing field that's not level, it is very, very unfair. And it is for that reason that this deal needs to be examined in very much detail.
What do you make, Caoimhe de Barra, of Commissioner Hogan's explanation of how the Mercosur trade deal interacts with climate protection?
Well, and frankly, I think we need to be extremely sceptical of a government like that led by Jair Bolsonaro. Throca works with Irish missionaries, and I met with two of them last week who are home in Ireland for a brief period, and they have been living in Brazil for 50 years and have seen the darkest days of governance in Brazil, and they were talking about the toxic politics under Bolsonaro's government. So I would be extremely cautious about accepting in any way what the current Brazilian government commits to or promises. I also think that it's extremely important that there is due diligence in all business operations, regardless of where they happen across the globe. As I was mentioning earlier, companies that are operating in the Amazonian rainforest will not be brought to justice if they infringe on human rights and environmental rights in Brazil, which is why we need an international treaty which is binding on human rights to ensure that companies, regardless of where they're headquartered, are held to account for abuses such as those that we're seeing in Brazil. But overall, I think, you know, it's extremely important that we consider the impact of all of the operations, whether they're Irish or multinational. Ireland also has a trade of $2 billion with Brazil, and that has doubled in recent years, unsurprisingly given the context we're facing with Brexit. So I think it's very important that we look at bringing in human rights due diligence legislation into Ireland to address all of our corporate operations.
John Sweeney, I'm just going to give two reactions from our listeners, but the second one, I'm going to put it to you. One says, the needless gallivanting of middle class hypocrites around the globe probably does more damage than the Amazon fires. That's from a Jerry. Another says, I think Mr. Bradker has a cheek giving out to Brazil. If we want Brazil to be the world's lungs, then we need to pay Brazil a fair price. Ireland is a laggard when it comes to the environment. We have no business giving out to anybody. We should mind our business and put our own house in order. What do you think about that, John?
Well, certainly, I mean, there is no excuse for us not pulling our weight as international citizens, but equally so, there is no excuse for Brazil not pulling its weight as international citizens. And long before the Mercosur big decision has to be made, there are international climate negotiations going on around the Paris Agreement, around agreement on the rule book for Paris, which were supposed to be culminating at the last COPs meeting in Katowice. They didn't, largely because Brazil wanted to double count credits for its forests. And I think we have to see what will happen at the next UN conference, whether Brazil is willing or not to live up to the commitments that it seemingly has made to Phil Hogan. And my suspicion is that it won't. So I think there is an urgent need for an international body to oversee what is going on in Brazil and to assess compliance with any particular commitments they make, because it's quite clear to me that we cannot trust President Bolsonaro to deliver on the commitments commitments that he's making at the moment, and the rest of the world will suffer. And among those that will suffer will be Ireland. But certainly we have to pull our weight irrespective of what happens internationally. As regards gallivanting around the world, well, you're talking about 10 years of emissions coming from those storage sources in the Amazon. So we have to keep things in perspective there.
John, a quick final point to you. I mean, people listening, we constantly are concerned now, obviously, about global and climate change. How big a problem is this? In other words, for people listening right now, is this pretty, as far as you're a climatologist, is this catastrophic if it's not sorted, these fires?
Well, I think if we lose the Brazilian rainforest, it's next to nigh impossible for us to avoid dangerous climate change at a global scale. And the consequences of that are really pretty dramatic for all of the global community. At the moment, we have about double the fires that we had last year. So at the moment, we can recover some lost ground, but forests, rainforests in particular, will take over a century to regrow. So this is not something that we can solve in the short term. The problem is the trend, and the problem is the political green light that has been given to accelerate the damage that is occurring at the moment. But as far as the current fires are concerned, it is the fire season in Brazil, the queimado. There always are some fires, but the problem at the moment is that they're getting really out of control as a result of the political lack of leadership coming from the government. And with that trend accelerating, then we face pretty bad times ahead.
John Sweeney, Caoimhe de Barra, Pat Deering, thank you all very much for joining us this morning. After the break, we'll be looking at why rural Ireland is unhappy with the proposed Garda changes.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.